Okay, so we're going to do Sicha Nun Zayin 57. So I was, today was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Rabbi Nachman's birthday. Nachman's birthday, it's a big thing. Some rabbis, you know the birthdays, some you don't know the birthdays. But the Breslovers made a big deal about it. I think they would go, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, I think that they would all go to gather by Rabbi Nachman. I think there's, I don't know what happened this year. Some people did go, but I think there's a big kibbutz in Uman. I think, by Rosh Chodesh Nisan, there's a few times of the year Rabbi Nachman used to gather his Talmidim, and still they go. Of course, Uman Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Chanukah, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, maybe Shavuos as well. Different times of the year. So I thought it was apropos, even though this is mamash we're up to, Hashkacha, this Sicha, which actually discusses Rabbi Nachman's perspective on death, actually. We'll see how, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, right, we just went through Purim, and Haman thought he had the Jewish people because when the Goral, when the lottery fell out on Adar, Haman got all excited because this is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu dies. So Klal Yisrael has no protection, they have no tzaddik. But what did Haman forget, of course? That it was also Moshe's birthday because Moshe was born and died on the same day. So the Koach of Moshe was still in the world. And we know that tzaddikim never really die, their imprint, their energy, they're still able to be poel in this world. That's why we go to tzaddikim, we daven, not necessarily to them, but through the koach of them, the shemil melitz yosher. But al kaponim, just like by Moshe Rabbeinu, we saw that his death and his life became one, you know, eagle, one circle. So too, we'll see how Rabbi Nachman, his perspective on death, we'll see at the end how it's very much connected to life itself. So let's see. First, like I've been doing, let's just read the whole Sicha straight, basic translation, and then we'll come back again. So Rabbi Nachman says that Rabbi Nachman used to say over Shabbi Mei Bacharuso when Rabbi Nachman was a young child. Hayelo Pachad Godol Ma'od Ma'od Menemisa. I don't know what age this was, but when Rabbi Nachman was young, he was extremely scared of death. And he was very, very scared, very fearful. And at that time, while he was still scared, he davka would request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should die al Kiddush Hashem. And he would go like this for a long time. He didn't remember how long. He knew that it was a long time. What was he doing? And he says, Efshar Shana, even it was a whole year. Rabbi Nachman went like this. What did he do? Shehalach b'zeh u'bikesh tamar azeh. He would cancel in every single tefillah. He would ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should die, al Kiddush Hashem, to sanctify Hashem's name. V'lo ha'isa sicha u'tefillah. There was no sicha, there was no conversation that he had. There was no tefillah that he prayed. Shelo bikesh al zeh sheyestalag al Kiddush Hashem, that he did not request this, that he should die al Kiddush Hashem. Wow. So Rabbi Nachman is very, very scared of Misa, and yet he is dafka davening, specifically davening to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he's constantly speaking about it and requesting from a Kaddish Baruch Hu that he should die al Kiddush Hashem. Not something that somebody who's scared usually would be requesting. Umigodo, let's continue. Umigodo pachado viraso azme Misa kanal. And from his tremendous fear, this was considered by Rabbi Nachman, his avoda was an act of Mesiris Nefesh. Mamash Mesiris Nefesh. Now, Mesiris Nefesh, we know, right, there's many madrigas. The highest madriga of Mesiris Nefesh is to give up one's life, Mamash, Kipshuto, to die. But there's many, many levels of Mesiris Nefesh. It doesn't have to be Mamash dying. But for a person who is so scared to go into that fear, it's like a Mesiris Nefesh. So from his great fear, it became these requests, this type of tefillah, was like a Mesiris Nefesh, giving up his life. Al Kiddush Hashem Mamash. It was like Ke'ilu, he was giving up his life while he was davening for this. Mashayim Espal Zeh from his davening. Ke'ayah Pachdo Godo Ma'od Az Mizeh. Because he was very, very scared, even also from this. Omehanal Ivanti, says Rabbi Nosson says, from this I understood, She'osu Adav Hashem Az Gaber L'Hodom Hu Mashuka Bo, that which overpowers a person, that which he's sunken into. Oso Hadavar Davka, that thing itself, Hu Tzarech L'Shaber, you have to break, B'Shu'al Hashem Az Baruch. For Kaddish Baruch Hu, this is what Rabbi Nosson says I understood from Rabbi Nachman's avoda. Now we're going to go back. We're going to come back into it. Kizeh Iker Vodoso. This is the main avoda, to break for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Quotes of Brokumar Brachas, Ukmosh Amra Bosein Zal, like the Gemara says, and we're going to speak it out at the end in length. Ubechom Aldecha, right, that's part of the Ahavta, Sasham Akecha, Bechol Navshecha, Bechol Lavavcha, Bechol, sorry, Bechol Lavavcha, Bechol Navshecha, Bechom Aldecha. You should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your ma'od, which means all of your money, at least in one understanding. So Yesh Lecha Adam Shechav V'Lov, we'll see that there's a person who loves his money more than his body, and for that person, he has to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his money. Specifically, the person who loves his money more than his body. But we'll quote the whole Gemara at the end. V'Halvein and understand. Okay. So what do we get out of this Sikh? What do we learn from this Sikh? So let's go back into it. So back to the beginning. So Menachem, we're learning that he was very, very scared of Misa. And yet, he turned towards it, davka, davening, that he should die, which was scaring him, but al kiddush Hashem. So we know, those who are more into the psychological world could explain this more, but there's a concept when you have a person who has a fear, how do you overcome the fear? Face your fear. You have to turn into it, right? Fear, that anxiety, that stress, or that worry, whatever you want to say, makes you run. So you just stay constantly in that state of fear. You never overcome it. The way is if, right, you're scared of heights, they got to bring you to heights. And you've become exposed to it. There's different ways that they speak about it, and I'm no psychologist.
Exposure therapy.
By just again and again, seeing it, facing it, again and again. Yes, you'll be scared, but slowly but surely, over time, you become conditioned, accustomed. There's different ways that that they say it. But this is the Mahalach. So it seems like this Rabbi Nachman's doing, right? A little psychologist he was, a little Torah psychologist, that he was scared of Misa. So he faced his fear. How? By davka davening on his lips. He's mentioning Misa, which scares him. But davka davening to die al kiddush Hashem. So it seems like, at first glance, he's using, right, exposure therapy. He's exposing himself to that. That's what it seems like. But really, I don't think that's what it is at all. Before we get weiter, I wanted to point out something very, very important. When it comes to Avodas Hashem in general, and we'll see how, of course, this is Avodas Hashem, but in general, Avodas Hashem, whatever we're working on, it's a long road. Everything's a long road. If you look back in the piece here on the top, so Rabbi Nachman said, or they bring from Rabbi Nachman, right, what the Avoda he was doing doesn't really matter here, because I want to just bring out like a parenthetical point about Avoda. But he, v'holach b'zeh zman rav. The Avoda that he was doing, he spent a lot of time, maybe up to a year. Not just once in a while. Every tefillah, every sikha for an entire year, it could be more than a year, he forgot. He was davening that he should daven kiddush Hashem. And when it comes to becoming a professional, everybody knows, right? You want to become a doctor, you want to become a lawyer, whatever. You want to become something specialized. It takes a long time. It takes years. Right? You have to learn. You have to go to school. Law school, 4 years? How many years?
3 years.
To become a psychologist, to become anything, even an accountant, to go through the years of work through college.
Everything. How long do I have to do to become nothing?
Well, it could be 1 second or it could be forever. That's your choice. But we all know, we understand, to become a professional takes a long time. But when it comes to Avodas Hashem, so we have to know, do we want to become professionals or do we not want to become professionals? Right? For some people, they know the mitzvahs, they know, they learn a little bit, and they go through the motions, they do it, good, fine, nothing wrong. But if a person wants to become the next level in Avodas Hashem, and again, there's so many different areas. To become a professional, to become somewhat of an expert, v'halach b'zeh zman rav gadol, you have to be willing to put the time and the effort in. A person wants to, whatever, pick anything. He wants to become better at davening. So he's going to davening every day. He's been going for 20 years. Nothing's really changed. He's wanted to, but nothing's really changed. So now what does he do? Right? So you have to daven to daven. You have to learn about davening. V'holch b'zeh, you have to go on this v'zman rav gadol. You have to go this A long time. You're ready to put in the work. Not just, okay, today I'm going to try to get up early. It didn't work. Okay, fine. So it's there goes that. Today he starts a class in tefillah. He lasts two or three classes. Okay. Done. Next. If a person wants to become a professional, it means he wants to become a real Eved Hashem in whatever area it is, you really have to put the time and effort in. When it comes to mamonis, it's very easy for people. Because it's clear. If you don't have money, you die. Right? It's very, very clear. But a person doesn't see that with spirituality. We're not accustomed, we're not conditioned for that. Right? A person doesn't learn for a few days. I'm still alive, I'm still breathing. It's not as easy to sense the decline spiritually or the ascent spiritually when you are involved in avoda as it is when it comes to money. Money is very easy. Did you make? Did you lose? What's in the bank account? Can you pay your mortgage or not pay your mortgage? Very clear. And we're always nervous. We always want more. But how nervous are we about the ruchnius aspect? Right? It doesn't just happen either. We have to be thinking about it. We have to understand. Okay. The point is that it's very, very important to not become discouraged. When a person wants to work on something, prepare. 6 months, a year. Whatever it is you want to take on. Take on one little tiny thing, whatever it is, and say, I'm ready to go, really, until it takes. But it could be a year. It took Rabbi Nachman a year to work on this. So it could take me also a year.
Did it say that he got over his fear?
L'chair he did. L'chair he did. That's the understanding he did.
Oh.
That's my mashmash. It took him, he said. It took him a year. It took him a long time to get to that point. That's the understanding. It doesn't say clear that he did. That's my understanding that he did.
So the thinking of, and davening about why to dial a Kiddush Hashem was the exposure therapy.
That I'm going to come back to that. That's the Hava Amina that you would think that's what he's doing. We're going to show that I don't think that's what he's doing at all. It was more aligned with Avodas Hashem because exposure therapy is psychology. It's nothing to do with necessarily with the Kaddish Baruch Hu and Avodas Hashem.
If you're so afraid of it and you're thinking about it, then you think your fear would go away because you're so used to having that idea in your mind of dying that maybe your fear would go away.
No, but you have to turn. He's that how you turn. You're always scared. What are you doing to alleviate that fear? You're just thinking about it all the time. You're looping around. That fear is just staying around the system.
It sounded like what he was doing was you're saying it was.
He was davening specifically that.
It was too much. Maybe are we saying too much davening?
No. He was. That was
a good thing.
He was scared of Misa. He was scared of dying. So anybody who's scared of dying wouldn't talk about it. We don't talk about the subject. Let's just not think about it. Right? That's the way that you usually would alleviate the fear. Don't get involved. If you're scared of spiders, just stay away from spiders. If you're scared of heights, don't go high. So that's what a normal person would do. Just don't think about dying. I mean, Nachman, I'm just saying in the Havamin, it was exposure therapy. He turned in towards it and davka davened to die, Kiddush Hashem. And that could be tomorrow. It wasn't like, oh no, when I'm 70, let me die, Kiddush Hashem. Now we know he lived very young. Right, he didn't live very long, unfortunately. Right, but he turned in to it and davened that it should be, he should die al Kiddush Hashem, which is scary, because he was already scared. He doesn't to mention those words is scary. But just getting back to again the parenthetical point is that we have to be ready to work hard. Whatever it is that we're working on, it's going to take a long time. Right? Could you imagine that if a person was davening for something, again ruchnis, not gashmis, ruchnis. Because right? Even by ruchnis, you have to daven. Right? Of course, you have to try to learn. You have to try to daven. You have to try to do all the things you have to do. But you have to daven to daven. You have to daven to learn. Right? You have to also ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu to help for that. And imagine he's davening like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? 515 tefillos to get into Eretz Yisrael. Right? We also can go to Eretz Yisrael. So we daven once, twice, three, fourth time. Okay, Kodesh, I guess you don't want my tefillos. So imagine a person davens 5, 10 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. He's just like, okay, I guess it's not happening. You know, 3 months is a long time. You know, 4 months, it's a long time to daven for something and not get it and still have the energy, the koach to continue. It's very hard. But imagine, could you imagine a guy, he knows it's the emes. Whatever it is, he knows it's the emes, and that's why he's able to daven for 3 months. And he's like, okay, I guess that's it. It's been a long time. He's ready to throw in the towel, and the malachim are looking down. No, don't do it. It's only one more tefillah. We don't know what the number is. Usually it's when you can't go any further, but then you do go a little bit further. That's usually when things break. They break open. So we'll come back to that towards the end. So the Rebbe Nachman then said that, right? He davened to the point of Mesiras Nefesh for this. Now why? So he's scared. So let's say he's scared of death. Let's say. So what? It's usher? He's doing anything wrong? He wasn't being Shomer Torah Mitzvahs? He wasn't keeping Shabbos? He wasn't learning as much as he learned because he was scared? So let him not think about it. Why did he have to turn into it? Why did he do that?
Because he wasn't just scared. He was very, very scared.
Fine, so what? So don't think about it. So what?
But he's a healthy person. So he's like, I don't want to just run away from my fears. Let me come.
Okay, but is that an act of, is that just an act of, is that just an act of human behavior? I don't want to be scared my whole life? Or was it something more in Avodas Hashem?
Something more, because he knows that it's coming to all of us, so he wanted to be prepared.
So what do we take out of this? So Rabbi Nelson says like this, Umeinal hevanti, right? Umeinal hevanti. First of all, before we even go further, it just, does this ring a bell, this kind of avoda, that a person's dying to davening to dial Kiddush Hashem?
Like a misplaced fear?
No, do we there was a big Tana.
Rabbi Akiva?
Rabbi Akiva.
Yes, he did.
Rabbi Akiva. We'll get to that. So now, so Rabbi Nelson says, from this avode of Rabbi Nachman, I think this is Rabbi Nelson speaking. Hevanti, I understood. She'os, let's go back to those lines. She'oso hadover shemezgaber la'adam humashukabo, that thing that overpowers a person. Right? For here, it was the fear of death. But Rabbi Nelson says, I'm learning something in general about avodas Hashem. That anything that overpowers a person, also adavar davka hu tzarech l'shaber b'shril Hashem Yisbarach. You need to break it, davka for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because Rabbi Nachman might have been asking the same question. Why didn't Rabbi Nachman, so what's the big deal that he was scared of death? So just run away from it. What does it matter? You still daven well, you still learn. So once in a while, he'll be scared of death if he goes to a lavai or something. But Rabbi Nachman could have lived a very good, happy life without thinking about dying. It would have been fine. Why did he have to turn into it and try to break himself and go to Mesiras Nefesh Mamish? His tefillah, right, that's Rabbi Nachman wrote, that the tefillah that Rabbi Nachman davened, that he should daven Kiddush Hashem, what is itself like a Mesiras Nefesh. It was so painful for him, at least in the beginning. Why did he do that? So Rabbi Nachman says, from this I understand, must be there's a rule, that when you have something that's overpowering you, a certain fear that's tremendous, or we'll see in a minute, a certain taiva, that even if it's not something that's usher, I'll tell you, it's the taiva for something that's mutter. You're not taiva for chasron for anything, ma'achol is asuras, forbidden foods. But you have a taiva for permitted foods. It's like, nothing usher. Everything's glakosher. Everything's, you know, got the right hechsher. But if you have something that's overpowering you, or that it's dragging you, it's sinking you inside, v'meshukabo, that's a sign you need to break that. You need to break that. Dafka for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because something's off. Something's off. And he says that this is our avoda. Our ikar avoda is to break for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, Hutzer l'shaber b'shel Hashem. You need to break yourself for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ze ikar avodasa. Now it's interesting because Rabbi, the Vilna Gaon writes this. The Vilna Gaon, right? We know the biggest... In the Litvish world, right? He was the Goyin. And he writes in Mishlei, Pasuk says that a person should hold on to Musar, don't let it go, ki hu chayecha, because it's your life. Right? Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech talking about Musar. The Vilna Gaon says that man's primary goal, doesn't say Torah, everybody brings this, man's primary goal is to strengthen himself in breaking his midos. If not, says the Vilna Gaon, what purpose does he have in life? That's when Shlomo HaMelech says, keep it for it's your life. Ki hu chayecha. The Vilna Gaon says, he takes it seriously. He says, you see from here, that as long as you're working on breaking your midos, one at a time, doesn't be all one shot, but as long as you're working on breaking your midos, there's a point to your life.
What do you mean breaking your midos? Midos means I thought good.
Told. We're talking about, let's say, a bad midah.
Oh, but so bad.
A bad midah.
Yeah.
But it could also...
Your eitzah is...
Tivus, maybe.
the Yetzer Hara, Taivis, Kas, Kabdonas, Gaiva. Kabdonas is being makbid on something.
Yeah, that's the whole test, my friend. You got to give up the New York Post.
You got to give it up. That's an easy one to give up. That's an easy one to give up. That's an easy one.
Try it. See, it's not easy.
Not so easy?
It's great entertainment. You shouldn't get started.
No, don't worry. In my youth, I've seen it. That was an easy one to give up.
And it's getting worse.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
They hate Trump.
So, yeah, okay, it's right after the shir, you guys can hack that out if you want. But also, when it comes to good midos, we're not going to see it really, but even good midos, there's a breakage. Because, right, that's why it's easy to get rid of it. We'll talk about the good midos in a minute, but there is a concept of breaking even on good midos, because we have to know how to learn what does it mean breaking, okay? See, in the Musar Mahalach, that may be what you've been accustomed to, maybe you've heard it before, right? Classic Musar. So, you have a bad Midah, got to break it. That's bad. You can't be angry. Being angry is bad. So you should be angry at the anger, you know? Just stop it. Being angry is like you're worshiping the Avodah Zarah. Break it. Work hard. But it's not so appealing. It doesn't really work. That's not so. People never really grabbed onto it too much. Definitely not nowadays. Maybe the yeshiva world, maybe a little bit, but even them, it's not a very pleasant type of avoda, and therefore people shy away from it. They'd rather just learn Gemara, which doesn't yell back at them, you know. So, I think definitely from Chassidus in general, but you see from here, if we learn properly, the Rabbi Nachman, they have a different. There's a different approach to this. Different approach. See, when we're working on midos in general, okay? Midos in general, midos are the inner workings, right? The emotions, right? Or the feelings. It's the way we, even the way we think can be a midah. Midah means measure. When a Kodesh Baruch, everybody has a system. How are you alive this moment? Because your brain's keeping you alive, because your heart's pumping, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends chis into your life. Your brain works. Your heart pumps blood because the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends through our neshamas, energy, light, which gives chis, which gives vitality to the physical aspects of who we are, which then the body works, and Baruch Hashem, we're good. If the Kodesh Baruch Hu for 1 second would turn the switch off, then the brain would stop working and the heart would stop working. Game over. Right? Right? How does the brain shut down? How does it just stop? How does it happen? It's Kodesh Baruch Hu turns it off. You could decide this sickness, that sickness. But so, how does it? And how does a person just doesn't wake up? How does that happen? How do you explain that? So, when we have this energy that's flowing through our vessels, right? We have kalim inside of us. Right? We have different aspects of who we are, whether it's the mind, whether it's the heart, the emotions, or even our limbs. So the energy is flowing through. I once saw that emotion is energy in motion. That's what emotions are. It's energy that's flowing through from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's in motion. Sometimes it's expansive and it's happy. Sometimes it's constricted and it's depressed. Right? We have different types of movements within us. And the energy is flowing through, sometimes expanding, sometimes contracting, right? And if the energy comes down, it's flowing through our inner kalim, and they become misguided, they become aligned in the wrong ways, so that energy is going to go to a place that's inappropriate. For example, we have within ourselves the koach of ahava, the potential to love. And a person could go through life not loving anything, but he has that potential within him. Right? So if the system, if the energy flows into his koach of ahava in an appropriate way, see, he'll use that koach to love his family, to love Hashem, to love Torah, to love mitzvahs, to love anything that has growth, to love people. But if he doesn't use it appropriately, then where does it go? I love sushi, I love pizza, I love money, I love power, I love wealth. It's the koach of ahava. Ahava means everything here means a lot of things, but ahava means connection. Ahava means you're willing to give your heart over, right? So some people are willing to give their heart over to their children. Some people are willing to give their heart over for money, right? Some people are willing to work themselves so much because they want to make money into the hospital, right? Some people are willing to give up everything they have. A parent would willing to give up what they want for what their kid wants. I want to go to this restaurant. The kids, they all want to go to a different one. Okay, I love my kids. I'll let them choose. Whatever it is. So if the energy is flowing through this specific keli called Ahava, and it goes to the wrong place, right? We have to reroute it, right? When it comes to the Muslim movement, you have to break it. That's bad. Bad. Don't do that. Stop the flow of energy, right? And there's chachma to that. I'm not putting that down. But in the way of Chassidus is different. You don't have to stop any energy flow. Adrab, energy flow comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We just need to reroute it or stop it before it goes too far. Understand that vessel you have of Ahava. See how you can draw the energy into that place. There's many, every mead that can be worked on in a different way. Why aren't you using your Koch of Ahava in the right places? Why is it in the wrong places? What's a blockage? What is that thing that's standing in the road that's rerouting it to the inappropriate place?
It's your society.
What?
It's your society. Yeah,
that's part of it.
It's a very, you know, we're saying it as, you know, as these people that wrote it had, I think, similar problems in their society also. You know, they didn't live in a box somewhere. These guys, they had their own societies,
and therefore, they're correct.
Except theirs was maybe even, on one way, it could have been coarser, but yet on another way, I think today's society is coarser.
There's a difference.
It's coarser, and what you're saying here is, using my language, you'd have to be like a tire retread. You know, they do for trucks, save money, you do a tire retread.
You say
we all have to retread our lives in order to get to do the energy flow. And that's why the Hasidim, Lubavitch, live in Crown Heights. They maintain a kind of an insular community. And in Williamsburg and Borough Park, these are insulated to a certain extent.
Correct.
Communities.
And therefore the
five towns is not as insulated as you think it is.
We don't think it's insulated. However, there is, and even though it's true that society does play a role in where the
Big
natural
time.
Flow of energy goes.
Square.
Yet,
that's a real
some
actually, I've never been in New Square.
Really?
Yeah.
Men and women, separate streets.
Yeah.
Separate
side
of the street.
However, there is when we societally disallow certain things, and I'm not saying one way or the other, I'm just in a general call, and you constrict and you don't allow flows of energy to go to certain places, which may be mutter, but danger zone, we don't want to let it go there, you can also then, the energy can then go to a bad place. Because if it's not allowed to go to certain places.
I know, but everything we do is really, it is so conditioned from when we're children. So from magazines we innocently pick up. I'm not saying the magazines are necessarily bad. But
the Post.
No, forget the Post.
But this is why.
It's total garbage. I mean, as far as, if you're like we're saying here, if you're going to break this, and he's saying you're not going to break it, you have to just change the flow of that energy. Instead of going for the Post, better off picking up
a safer
a magazine, pick up a newspaper. You got 10. Because I don't know about you, I can't get through every Torah article. Right. So instead of spending my time,
this is
read Yated.
This is a general.
We don't do it as a whole.
You have to know, in all these sikhas, you know, we move through very fast. We're giving a general overview. In each sugya that we discuss, this would be shiurim upon shiurim to explain more in detail, you know, how to do it. It doesn't just mean picking up a Yated would be rerouting it. That might be part of the rerouting, but that's not exactly the inyan.
Really.
That's just, you're just trading in a really, really bad energy flow for a, not, a less, I'm not saying it's bad. It could, I'm not saying it's bad, I think it's good. It's just, it's not the, when we're talking about these sugyas, part of this inyan is called a fallen ahava. It's called an ahava nefula. Or if you have, you're supposed to have, we're supposed to be shtark in this world. We're supposed to have gvura, right? Gvura doesn't mean going out and fighting. That's not our mahalach. We play strong defense. Unless you mess with us, then we have to come out. But a person needs structures in his life. He needs, right? It's called constriction, but not in a bad way. Holy constriction. But if you have too much, if you're too constricted, then you could come into a place called yiranefula, where you become fearful of everything. Right? If you build a house, you're scared of everything. So you build this really stark house. I'm never leaving the house. You become scared of the sunlight. I never want to leave. I don't know what's going to be. The UV rays, you can go crazy. So too constricted turns into lower fears. Now, Rabbi Nachman understood that his fear, where it came from, it's not his. Sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us these energy flows automatically and we have to fix them. His fear of death to such a degree was a yira nefula. It really was an avodas Hashem. It's not about a mitzvah. It's not an avera to fear, but it's a misused energy flow. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you a certain energy, and you're supposed to use it for yira, a proper yira, yiras Hashem. Now, yiras Hashem is also, it's a very large sugya. But just in general, you're supposed to be using it for yiras Hashem. His yira was about misa. So what did he do? He davka davened that his fear, he davka davened that he should dial Kiddush Hashem. So he turned that fear, he turned towards it, and he was v'nahafechu, he turned it into a yiras Hashem. Right? The dial Kiddush Hashem is a yira. It's not an ahava, it's a yira. At least at face value. Right? That's what Rabbi Nachman was doing. You understand? It wasn't just exposure therapy. That was making a joke earlier. Right. Exposure therapy is just psychology, which is true. That wasn't what he was doing.
What was he doing?
He was trying to change, he was rerouting the energy of his life that was going into the place called Yira. We have a Kali. Everybody has a Kali inside of them. Our DNA, we have 10 strands. One's called Keser, one's called Chachma, Bina, Das, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yisod, Malchus. That's our DNA. And each one, each strand, each vessel means something else. And we need the energy to flow in properly into each keli and interact with each other. It's Pnimiyas HaTorah. One of the major kelim of our life is called Yira. It's called Gvura. Yitzchak was the embodiment of that. Yira, a fear, right? It's very important, Yira, appropriate Yira. Rabbi Nachman's fear of death was an inappropriate Yira. He felt that was a pagam in his Yiras Hashem, in his Avodas Hashem. So he couldn't just leave it on his Madrega, even though it wasn't an Usser, there's no Veira, but he wasn't being the best Eved Hashem he could be. Because if he would take that energy and reroute it back into Yiras Hashem.
Fear Hashem instead of fearing death.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And that's what he was doing. But it's even one step even more than that. Because really, every fear, if you do it right, when you say fear Hashem, it doesn't mean low-level fear of Hashem is what people talk about. You don't do anything wrong because you don't want to get punished. Fear God, meaning fear His wrath. That's very low level.
It's cheap.
Fearing Hashem in the higher realms really is, I want to be connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu, or we are connected. I love him, he loves me, he gives me everything I have. I fear that if I mess up, I'm going to lose that connection. So really, it's a fear that's really motivated, it's really being motivated by Ahava. I love a Kodesh Baruch Hu so much, and I know that he loves me so much, that I'm scared, I'm fearful to break that.
That's beautiful.
And that's really what Rabbi Nachman was doing. I want to dial Kiddush Hashem, which is really it's a tefillah of Yira. I'm gonna take a bullet, right? Lo Aleinu, a guy comes and says, you know, you have to kill another Jew. I'm gonna kill you. So dial Kiddush Hashem. That's the classic understanding. You don't take be a gibor, dial Kiddush Hashem. But that's the lower level of it. Not that we should ever get into that situation. Rabbi Akiva says Rabbi Akiva died on the Echad, because his understanding was is that Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, we're going to see in a second, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol me'odecha, that you have to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu. You have to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu so much that you're willing to give up your heart for him. You're willing to give up your life, b'chol nafshcha, for him. You're willing to give up all your ma'od, your money, for him. Not because of fear, because of Va'ahavta. That's what Rabbi Nachman's bringing at the end. Again, Rabbi Nachman says, you need to break yourself. You need to break your midas, meaning you need to reroute, realign where the energy flow is to the proper places, because this is the ikra vodaso. Like we learn in the Gemara Brachos, Va'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol me'odecha, that there are people, says the Gemara, there are some people, why does it say, the Gemara says, why does it say you have to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the point of death, b'chol nafshecha, and love him to give him, love a Kodesh Baruch Hu so much you're going to give him, you're willing to give all your money, for Torah, for mitzvahs, whatever. What do you mean? If you're ready to give up your life, then obviously you'll give up all your money. And if a person is ready to give up all of his money, the Gemara says, whatever, you can give up your life. Why do you need both? So the Gemara answers. Because sometimes you have a person who loves his life more than his money. This person has to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu to the point where he's ready to give up his life. And if a person who loves his money more than his life, then this person has to be willing to give up his money more than his life to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Out of Ahava, that's the Madrega we want to get to.
How did he die in that?
Rabbi Nachman?
Tuberculosis.
He was sick.
Oh.
Anti-climactic.
Right.
No, so, but... It's not, because look, if you look at the line again, Rabbi Nachman writes, "Hayezeh ba'atzmo etzlo mesiras nefesh al kiddush Hashem mamish." When Rabbi Nachman davened, when he was scared, when he davened to die al kiddush Hashem, it was actually mesiras nefesh al kiddush Hashem mamish. It was looked at in Shemayim that he actually gave up his life. So he did get it. That's probably when things changed. When he got to the place where he was literally ready to give up his life, al kiddush Hashem. The first time he davened to Da'al Kiddush Hashem, you think he was at the highest Madrega? I don't know. Maybe he is Rabbi Nachman, but probably not. Because if he was at the highest Madrega, then he wouldn't have to keep going. It took him a year to daven to the point where he really mamish meant it. I am ready, Kodesh Baruch, to die Al Kiddush Hashem for you right now. I bet at that moment when he really got to that, his fear went away. That's my assumption. That's exactly when it just went away. Because that's what Kodesh Baruch was pushing him towards. To reroute the year, meaning he was so scared of dying, that means he had such a potential to daven for the right reason to die al Kiddush Hashem mamash. So Kodesh Baruch was pushing him to that. And when he got to that place, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. And then he died from a sickness. That's not a fun, Lolena, we should know from that, but that's not a fun way. He was coughing up blood at the end. It wasn't happy. But he prepared for it. Like Rabbi Akiva. Right? He was being combed with metal combs, the Gemara says. And he was saying Shema, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and his Talmidim said, I forgot the Lashon is. Right now, when you're being tortured, you're still saying Shema? Rabbi Akiva says, my entire life I was davening to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu, b'chol nafshecha, to die al Kiddush Hashem mamash. And now that I'm actually doing that, I'm not going to do it with my full koach. Right, these are madregas beyond us. But this is what Rabbi Nachman was doing. It wasn't stam, again, exposure therapy. He was turning his death, his fear of death, into life, mamish. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, Zion Adar is his death, but it's also his life. He was turning his fear of death into his greatest avodas Hashem by dafka davening to Da'al Kiddush Hashem. Because he was rerouting, realigning the energy from a fear that was a fallen fear, nothing to do with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, just scared of death, rerouting it davka to Yiras Hashem in the highest way, which is life itself. For a person to fear a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that he doesn't want to be separated from him, that's a very high madriga. And how does a person know what it is that he needs to work on? Rabbi Nachman said, Oso ha-davar shem is gabra la'adna v'mashuka bo. Anything that overpowers a person, anything that tests you and overcomes you, is based in Yira, and therefore you have to turn that into Yiras Hashem. And he says, "Al v'mashuka bo," anything that you've become sunken into, that you're drawn towards, like a magnet, you love that, right? Yira, you stay away from. You run away, but it overcomes you like a wave. That's it. A misaligned yira, you have to bring the tears to Hashem. But when you are drawn to something so much, money, food, whatever it is, you know that that's the midah in ahava that you have to break. That means your ahava, your energy of ahava has gone to ahava sushi and not ahava Hashem. And we have to work on that sugya. Again, this is just Rashi Prakim. It's not actually saying how to work on them, but to at least be cognizant of this, to be aware that we have these pulls and we have these fears. Think about them, recognize where they're coming from, probably not Avodas Hashem, and then to just, at least to know that. How to do the next step of the Avoda? You have to think, you have to work, you have to speak to Rebbeim, but at least to recognize. It's very, very, very important. There's a totally different way of understanding, right? Midos work, and when we have fears, when we have Ahava, it's not just break your Midos. It's what we want to do when it comes to Chassidus, that type of Avoda, is we're not breaking ourselves. Adrabah, we're breaking open. For example, if you have a keli that's filled with water, but you want to bring more water on the trip, well, I only have this one keli. What am I supposed to do? I can't fit any more water. You need to break open the kli. You need to like expand it so you can have more room. When a person has a fear that overcomes him, that means whatever madrega of Yiras Hashem he has, he's already filled up. Whatever that is, small keli, big keli, it's already filled up. Because this fear is overflowing out of his Kaliv Yiras Hashem. It's flowing to Yiras Misa, Yiras Nefulus. So what we need to do is we need to go into the Sugya of Yira, into our Kaliv of Yira, and we need to break it open. That's the way you're supposed to look at it. Not break it, this is bad, don't do that. That maybe works, I'm not sure if it works.
So fear begins where your Emunah runs out?
That's also true. That's also true. There's what to work with that. And my ahava, if I'm loving something, if I'm being drawn to something more than just Torah mitzvahs, again, nothing usser, and we're not saying you're a bad guy. But if a person wants to turn that into Avodas Hashem, he has to break open his kli of ahava. He needs to learn to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu more. Again, it's a sugya. But not, you don't have to say that loving sushi is bad. It's, I want to take that ahava that I have for this food and I want to bring it into my tournament. Imagine I was able to daven as much as I loved pizza. Imagine those guys who love pizza. Every day they could eat pizza. I love pizza. You know those guys? He's not here tonight, but we have one of those guys. Don't tell him to listen to the recording. Imagine you could take that love or love of the New York Giants. Whatever sports you love, oh my gosh, I love them, or the sports play, whatever. You really feel motivated by them. Connect, not love them like you love your kids, but you pay attention, whatever it is. Imagine you could turn that into learning, into davening. Who wouldn't want that? If you asked the guy at an honest moment, of course he would want that, but how do I do that? How is it possible?
Turn the love of the Giants into love of learning.
It's an avoda. It's a longer, shorter road, but it's about breaking open the kalim, giving yourself more room to love a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
There's only a certain amount of games, you know. It's hard to compare.
There's 17 weeks.
Yeah.
No, you have to give yourself 3-4 months. You can do it for a focused period of time. To all the time have this eternal love is a lot harder.
Well, if you can do, again, we're not speaking of the details. If you can get to this avoda, if you can actually break open your kalim, you change forever.
Yep.
It's not a constant fight. Once the keli is open, there's more room. Your love of Torah can become expanded to the point where I'd actually rather go to a shir right now than watch the football game. That can happen. That can happen. It starts with a ratzon. Starts with, I want that. You never even thought it existed. It exists. It's very, very possible.
I did it.
I also had to go through it. I also go through it. I used to watch these things. Now I don't care at all.
That's why we do a Tuesday class. We don't miss Monday or Thursday.
Or Sunday. Obviously. No, that's for those who haven't yet broken their ahavas of football, we do a Tuesday night class. Anyway, okay, there's a lot to talk about, but see how the dishmah.